Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Faith Focus Weekly Discipleship Podcast. My name is Kevin Rognes, and I'm the Discipleship Director here at Faith Covenant Church. I just want to say thank you for watching or listening and remind you to leave a review, let us know how we're doing, and also subscribe just to make sure that you're not missing any of the episodes that we put out, usually every week, usually on Wednesdays. So if you've been watching for a little while recently, you know that I've been kind of going on a journey personally of going through Torah. Torah is another name for the first five books of the Bible, which are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These books together, again, are known as Torah in the original Hebrew. You also may see the word Pentateuch to describe them as well. Pent being a prefix meaning five, so Pentateuch meaning kind of the first five books of the Bible. These are very crucial books, particularly in Judaism, but also in Christianity as well, because these are theoretically written by Moses. The Pentateuch, or Torah, or the first five books, basically tell the beginning story of the Israelite people. It starts in Genesis with creation narratives. We start to get to know Abraham and his descendants, and they eventually go to Egypt. And then in Exodus, we get the story of the people of Israel coming out of Egypt. And in Exodus, the rest of it, you kind of get some of the beginnings of the law and the rules that Israel is supposed to follow to be in right relationship with one another and with God. As you move into Leviticus, you get more of that kind of the holiness codes of the people of Israel. And then in Numbers, you start to see their travels and how they get from each different place along the journey. And also in the later portion of Numbers, you get to a point where after they've been out of Egypt, out of slavery and bondage for a little over the year, or a year, some of the people rebel against God and decide that they do not want to go into the Promised Land because there were some scouts that went into the Promised Land to kind of scope it out and see what was going on. And those spies reported that the land of Canaan that they were about to enter and take over had very strong people groups already living there. So at that point, the Israelites as a group kind of said, oh no, we're too scared, we're not going to go in. And at that point, God said, you don't want to go? Fine. Everybody of a certain age and older is going to die out here in the desert. You're going to wander the desert for 40 years before you then get to take over this land that I will give to you. So that all happens kind of in basically up through the end of Numbers. And then we get to the book of Deuteronomy, which is where we're going to kind of learn a little bit today. And in Deuteronomy, what's essentially happening is Deuteronomy takes place right before they enter the Promised Land. They don't quite get into the Promised Land in Deuteronomy. It happens right before. Right before they go in, Moses takes some time to remind the people who they are. Moses takes time to say, here's who we were. We were in slavery and bondage. God led us through that. God took us out of that. God was faithful. Here's who we're supposed to be. Here is a remembrance of our law that God has given us. This is who we are supposed to be as a people. And it's really important to remind them of that because they're about to enter a new homeland, the land of Canaan, which is what eventually becomes known as the land of Israel, or today, Israel and Palestine. So that's kind of where we're at in the narrative when we start in Deuteronomy. And what I've been reading through the beginnings of Deuteronomy in the last few days, and it's just so interesting because you get to see Moses start to take on the role of a historian. Up until this point, Moses has certainly been a vital leader, the main leader for the people of Israel. He was the one that God used to bring them out of Egypt. Moses, by God's power, helped to convince the Pharaoh to do that. God used a bunch of plagues to convince the Egyptians that he was the one true God, that God was God, not that Moses was God, that God was God, and that they needed to be freed from their slavery. So Moses, up until this point, has done a number of really impressive things by God's leadership. He has interceded for God's people. He has been a spiritual leader. He has been a very practical leader. He has appointed a lot of other leaders to help him with this task because it was too much for one person to do. So Moses has played a lot of different roles up to this point in the narrative. Here, at the beginning of Deuteronomy, we see Moses transition into a bit of a historian. And that's not to say that he loses his role as a leader, but we just see him adding to his plate a role of historian. And so, and there's, I mean, you can look into a variety of places throughout the Torah, throughout the first five books of the Bible, where you see kind of Moses fulfilling this function. But I was really thinking about that a lot here in the last few days about in the early chapters of Deuteronomy. So I'm going to read Deuteronomy 1, verses 1 through 5, because there's some really interesting stuff going on here. And it says this: "These are the words Moses spoke to all Israel across the Jordan in the wilderness, in the Arabah opposite Suf, between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahabab. Excuse me. It is an 11-day journey from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea by way of Mount Seir. A couple of hiccups. In the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first of the month, Moses told the Israelites everything the Lord had commanded him to say to them. This was after he had defeated King Sihon of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon, and King Og of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth at Edrei. Across the Jordan in the land of Moab, Moses began to explain this law, saying, 'The Lord our God spoke to us at Horeb.'" And I'm going to actually stop there. Moses continues speaking. I actually read a little bit into verse 6. But what was most interesting to me here is that in verse 3, towards the end of verse 3, in verse 3 it says, "Moses told the Israelites everything the Lord had commanded him to say to the people." And what follows, the content that Moses says to the people at God's command, is essentially a long history lesson. God says, "Moses, tell the people the history of your people." Now, keep in mind that these people have just lived this history. Well, most of them. Some of them died along the way. But Moses is being asked to share the history of the people since the Exodus. And that's exactly what Moses starts to do in the remainder of chapter 1 of Deuteronomy. And so God is essentially commanding Moses to be a history teacher in that moment. So, like I said, Deuteronomy is part of Torah, it's part of the Pentateuch, but more broadly, it's part of what Jewish and Christian tradition call the law. Now, one of the misconceptions about the law, as it's written, like when Jesus refers to the law, he's referring in part to these first five books and the rest of the Old Testament, but especially the first five books of the Old Testament. The law is not just a list of rules that everybody has to follow. The law is also the story of the Israelite people. It is their history. The law is, in part, the comings and goings of the people. We are being called to remember what happened to the Israelite people. The Israelites are being commanded to remember what happened to them. And then as this history goes on, that history includes the mistakes they made. So God is commanding them to remember the mistakes that they made. Now, this command ends up standing for several generations. So several generations into the future, beyond this point, beyond the point of this writing, future generations are commanded to remember what happened back in the time that Israel was wandering in the desert, was being led out of slavery from Egypt, all of these things. God is commanding the Israelite people to know their history. history is part of the law. Later on, New Testament writers continue that. Jesus talks about how the law is not being abolished, the law is being fulfilled. So Jesus, in supporting the law and supporting the necessity of the law, is supporting the necessity of people knowing their history. It is vital for us as Christians to know our history. So, God gives Moses a command to teach the people history. God places a very high value on this history. And what unfolds over the next couple chapters, in Deuteronomy 1 especially, is not very flattering of the Israelite people. In this passage, Moses is recounting some very challenging periods of their history. I already kind of talked about how there was this episode of rebellion against God, in how the Israelites decided not to go into Canaan because they got scared when the scouts gave a really kind of discouraging report about the land that they were about to enter. This was not a flattering thing. Moses repeatedly says things like, "I told you, I said this, I did this, but then when the Lord heard your words, he grew angry." It's very specific about the mistakes that were made by the ancient Israelite people as they were wandering in the desert. Moses is also very honest about himself. In Deuteronomy 1:37, Moses says that the Lord was angry with me also. So Moses never minces words. He doesn't try to get away from the reality of mistakes that have been made or the fact that God has been angry with him personally. Moses could have tried to skip over that. Moses could have tried to paint a very flattering picture about himself. But instead, he's just honest, and he just lays it out in very simplistic terms about what was done wrong and what happened as a result. So history is not always a flattering thing. Let's see, what else did I want to say? So then as they move along into Deuteronomy 2, we get into more details about just their travels. And what's interesting here is that we are getting a recounting of God's faithfulness. Now, what's interesting here is God is not only faithful to the Israelites, God is also faithful to other people groups in the surrounding areas. If you've gone through Genesis 2, you may remember the story of Esau and Jacob. Jacob was the eventual father of the Israelite nation. Jacob's name actually was eventually changed from Jacob to Israel. But when Jacob and his brother Esau were having conflict, at some points, Jacob took over Esau's birthright and kind of stole the blessing of Esau, because Esau was actually the firstborn. However, God at that time gave Esau a blessing and gave Esau a land that would be promised to Esau and his generations. So in Deuteronomy 2, verses 1 through 6, we see that blessing still in place for Esau's descendants. This is many hundreds of years later. Moses is recounting this, and God gives them a command to say, "Hey, I promised this land to Esau and his descendants long ago. Avoid their land. Go around them. Don't fight them. I am being faithful to Esau and his people." So God's faithfulness is often a part of the chronicle of history that Moses is giving, and other writers in the Old Testament and New Testament also chronicle God's faithfulness in various ways. So that's happening in Deuteronomy 2, verses 1 through 7, and then we get a similar passage in verses 8 through 15, where the Israelite people are commanded to go around the land of Moab. Why are they going around Moab? Well, similar thing. Back in Genesis, Abraham had a nephew named Lot. You may remember him from various stories. And God promised Lot's descendants an area of land as well. And so God, again, being faithful to all people, not just the Israelites, God says, go around this because I originally promised this part of land to Lot and Lot's descendants. So as Moses is recounting as a historian their travels, Moses is also recounting God's faithfulness, not just to the Israelite people, but to other people groups as well, because God is a faithful God. Then throughout chapter 2 and then moving into chapter 3, we start to get into some of the military conflicts that the Israelites had with people in the areas immediately surrounding Canaan. They've not yet passed over into Canaan, but they do have some military actions against other peoples, and Moses recounts those as well. When Moses is recounting these histories, which at the time of writing are very recent histories now, he's not talking a couple decades past. He's talking about stuff that's very recent at the time of the writing. Moses is continually reminding the people and recontextualizing what's happening. Moses is continually saying, we did not win this military victory by our power, rather, it was God that handed over this people to us. Moses is continually turning the focus back to God and God's action and what God is doing. So all of these things are just so vital, and we get another reminder. Well, we get several reminders throughout the Bible, but one more reminder that I want to go into happens in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. And this is happening in the context of Moses talking about the importance of obedience. And Moses says this in verses 9 and 10. Only be on your guard and diligently watch yourselves, so that you don't forget the things your eyes have seen, and so that they don't slip from your mind as long as you live. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren. So that's just verse 9, and I'm actually going to stop there. So verse 9, there's a command to don't forget the things your eyes have seen. So that's a command to remember your personal history. When you have witnessed things in your walk with God, remember them. Remember them, and don't just remember them, teach them to your children and your grandchildren. So that's a command to be teachers of the history of God's people. Again, God is just laying the importance of teaching history accurately, not just to Moses, but to all the descendants. Every generation has a role in teaching the history of God's people. It is vital. And I don't think that we need to understand history solely as biblical history. We have to remember the history of our own lives and our own nations today. So history is something that is very important if we're not going to repeat the mistakes of the past, whether it's mistakes that our families have handed us down through generational trauma, or mistakes that our nation has participated in and has had lasting consequences. So, with all that said, I want to suggest that there are three things that we can learn from this look at history, particularly in the first few chapters of Deuteronomy. So, the first is, again, that simple command that God has for us to know our history. And again, I don't think that's necessarily limited just to knowing the history of the things that happen in the Bible. I do believe that God wants us to understand the history of the cultures and the nations and our families as well. We have to teach how God has been working throughout all of time. God's story is so much bigger than what is just written about in the Bible. God's story is continuing to unfold in our world today and in the 2,000 plus years that the Bible was written. A second thing, I think, is that history needs to be honest about the wrongdoing of ourself or of our people groups. Again, Moses does not mince words when he's going through the history of his people. Moses is very clear that they made mistakes and the Lord became angry, and there were some serious consequences as a result of that. And Moses was also honest about himself and said, you know what, even I did things that God was not pleased about. God was angry with me too. And so it's very important that history accurately reflects what went wrong. That is so vital. Third thing that I will say that I think this passage teaches us is that history is also deeply focused on God's faithfulness. We have to be always looking for the things that God did, the ways that God acted in our lives, the way that the Holy Spirit gave us guidance, the way that God was faithful to his promises. History should always be focused on those kinds of things. So, with that said, this summer, in the upcoming months of the podcast, we're going to have a strong history focus. I know that history may not be everybody's passion, but it's a passion of mine, and I think it's something, because of what I read in Deuteronomy, that we all need to be cognizant of. So the next couple of episodes, as they are planned at the moment, they haven't been filmed yet, but the current plan is for the next couple episodes would be telling a couple of stories of people in our own congregation. This just gives us some history of who we are as a congregation, and I think that's just helpful and encouraging to know how God is working in the lives of people in our own congregation. After that, I'm going to be spending several episodes talking about church history in the 2,000 plus years since the beginning of the church. Now, that's a very, I recognize that I'm taking off a big bite here. It's maybe more than I can chew, but I'm going to be doing at least a very brief overview, or at least not an in-depth overview of history since the founding of the church. So that's going to cover a lot of territory. It's going to cover things like the early church fathers and how they gathered together and put together the various creeds that are now part of the defining part of the church, like the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed. We'll talk some about the Crusades and what those were and how those were motivated and the damage that those incurred. We'll talk about things like the Reformation in Germany in 1517 with Martin Luther and what that was all about. So we're going to kind of trace a lot of these developments and hopefully get us to some understanding of how we got from the church as it was initially created in the time of the apostles right after Jesus' death and resurrection to today. Now, that's going to be 2,000 years of stuff to review, and so again, this will not be a deep dive into these things, but I think it's really important for us to know how we got to where we are today. So, that's just kind of a preview of what's going to be coming up this summer. I'm really excited about it. I hope that it's something that you can get excited about as well. If you have questions about some of that stuff, please let me know. My email is listed in the show notes down below, so please check that out as well. So that's where we are, and that's where we're going. So I hope you come with us on this journey, kind of a historic summer of 2024. So thank you so much for watching and listening. As I said earlier, please subscribe, leave a review, let us know how we're doing. I hope you have a wonderful and blessed day.